and leapt to his feet, crouching, hands held out ahead of him, arms bent in a classic wrestler's pose. For a second, he considered hurling himself onto the other man to pin him, but he could see it wasn't quite time for that yet. There was one fall in these bouts, and he knew he had to pick his time exactly for the ploy to be successful. If he went too early, he risked the heavier man throwing him off and pinning Stig in his turn. He had to be properly incapacitated before Stig could risk coming to close quarters on the ground. Slowly, the other man came to his feet, eyeing Stig warily. So far, this bout hadn't gone anywhere like the way he had planned it. The younger, slimmer man was virtually unscathed. He had countered his most effective move easily, then sent him crashing to the sand in a rib-bruising fall. For a few seconds, they faced each other. Then, as if by some prearranged signal, they hurled themselves at each other. Stig took a firm grip of the man's shirt around the shoulders and shoved mightily against him. Instinctively, his opponent returned the shove, and in that instant, Stig gave way before him, stepping back with his left foot and dragging the other man after him. In the same movement, he brought his right foot up into the man's stomach and rolled backward. His opponent followed him, still propelled by the momentum of his return shove against Stig. Stig, his back curved, fell smoothly to the sand, his hands gripping the other man's shirt, and his right foot buried in his stomach, knee bent. As he rolled backward, Stig straightened his right knee in a violent movement, bringing his left leg up to assist the right in thrusting his opponent high into the air above him. At the same time, he maintained his grip on the shirt, so that, as Stig's legs propelled his opponent through an arc overhead, his hands kept his upper body from following. At the last moment, Stig released his grip, and the other man flipped in the air, soared several meters, and crashed heavily onto his back. Again, there was that explosive whoomp of expelled air, as the recently regained breath was driven out once more. Stig rolled onto his hands and knees and sprang to his feet like a cat. This time, he realized that the other man was totally winded after suffering two heavy impacts in quick succession. His opponent gagged and gasped as he struggled to fill his lungs with air. But before he could manage an inward breath, Stig pounced on him, lying across his upper body and pinning him to the ground. The bout's referee, who'd been watching with keen interest, fell to his hands and knees to check the man's shoulders, saw they were flat to the sand, and slammed his hand down rapidly twice. 1, 2, pinned, he yelled. Stig drew back, coming to his knees, then his feet, and leaned down to offer his opponent a hand. Bad luck, Orin, he said, as the other man came to his feet, still breathing heavily. Orin shook his head ruefully. Bad luck nothing, he said. You were too quick for me. Too quick and too smart. Stig shrugged. Not sure about smart. Orin wiped the sand from his face with the back of his hand. Well, you beat me fair and square, he said, not sounding overly pleased with the fact. That puts you in the lead, doesn't it? They were competing in the MacTig competition, the annual contest to crown the MacTig, or the Mighty One, in a series of physical contests. There were two events to go, a foot race over 5 kilometers, which Stig was favoured to win, and a mock combat, where he was ranked 2nd or 1st, depending on which wager master you were laying a bet with. The fact was, Stig hadn't been expected to win the final leg of the wrestling event. Orin was bigger, heavier, and stronger than he was. The unexpected win put Stig in an almost unassailable position. If he won the foot race, as everyone expected, the result of the mock combat would be immaterial. He was almost certain to come in 2nd or 3rd in that event, and that would be enough for him to maintain his lead. I think it does, Stig agreed.